This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to kick off a season of parades or dance with a disco queen, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Uptown, a crew known as the Dessert of Carnival is gearing up for Night of Revelry. The Funny 40 Fellows, a.k.a. PPP, because all three words begin with PH, will take their traditional ride on the historic St. Charles Avenue streetcar line as they usher in Carnival. Joining me is the captain of the PPP, Peggy Scott Laborde. Welcome.
Well, thank you. And you can tell by my voice that not all are our fellows.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to know, how does a woman get to be the captain of the Funny 40 Fellows?
Just fate, I guess. But there are a lot of fellows involved, too, including my husband, Errol Laborde, of course. And this is a nod to an organization from 1878 to 1898. They were all fellows, but we're certainly not. We revived the group in 1980, 81, that carnival season. And the rest is history. We've been doing the streetcar ride since 1983. We were originally part of, and I know, Diane, you would reach back with this, the Crew of Clones, and what's now the Crew de Vue. A lot of those organizations went to Crew de Vue. We didn't. We decided to do our ride instead, but we used to actually march as well.
Now, who are the fellows and what makes them so funny?
Well, the original PPP, and we continue to be inspired by them. Usually there were a little walking crew, but they did parades, and they were always poking fun at local issues of the day or local songs of the day. So they were truly into satire. What we do on a much smaller scale, our costumes reflect that. So very often people come dressed to board the streetcar for our ride. It's not a parade. It's one streetcar. Okay. But we are kicking off Carnival on January the 6th. In our streetcar ride, we are announcing that it is Carnival time.
Why is the crew known as the Dessert of Carnival?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with satire. What is very fun for me these days is we've been doing the streetcar ride for over 30 years now, and it used to be we would gather at the Willow Streetcar Barn about 6:15, 6:30, and it would just kind of be us and the Storyville Stompers, who we hire to provide musical accompaniment for us on the streetcar ride and, you know, play a little before we board. But now families are coming out, sometimes darling children in these costumes. They're coming out to bid us off. It's just like, hey, how you doing? And a gathering moment, which is extremely touching. We also have a group called the Mystery Maskers who bring their satirical signs that really poke fun also at Carnival. They follow us along the route. And it's amazing how much inside scoop they seem to have about whether it's the fellows or Carnival itself. And they are really a joy, too. So we have our own little fans, if you will. But at 7, what happens is the previous queen and boss, and that is what the original PPP called their king, they stand with me in front of the streetcar, and we do a carnival countdown to the drumbeat of the Storyville Stompers. And we do, you know, 10, 9, 8, this is the countdown. And we cut this giant purple, green, and gold ribbon, and we declare it's carnival time, and we board the car. Now, one of the really nice traditions that has occurred for many years now is that the crew of Oak, they toast us. So it's very dear.
How are the queen and boss chosen?
This happens during the ride. We do the complete St. Charles Avenue ride from Willow Street, going all the way down Carrollton, taking, of course, the bend, onto St. Charles, down to Canal, and then turn back around. What happens is these two giant king cakes are there, and last year's queen and boss are handing out slices. And so whoever gets the baby within those slices for the guys and the gals, they are the next year's royalty.
Ah.
And they have great duties, like, for instance, at various PPP gatherings, tasting the food and giving out prizes or judging costumes, you know.
Now, the satire, I believe you said, is in the costumes.
Yes, it is. We don't have a set theme, you know. Also, satire or homage, if you will, because a few years back, we had this wonderful costume. This young lady, she was a blue dog. Uh-huh. And it was right after, you know, the wonderful artist died. And, you know.
George Rodrigue.
Yeah, George Rodrigue died.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was very sweet. When the Monet exhibit was at NoMA, somebody was dressed as a Monet painting. So that kind of thing, too. So then sometimes it's political. But one time people were dressed as the clock of D.H. Holmes, you know, the beloved department store.
Yeah.
It's a mix, and I like that mix.
So can you give us any clues as to what we might see this year?
I wouldn't be too surprised if we get trumped by people dressed as Trump, because he's so pokeable, shall we say, with the big hair and everything else. So I think you'll see probably a lot more political satire, but we never know. The big thing, though, is nobody can get in the streetcar unless they are masked, and of course that they are, you know, they're members of the crew.
Yeah. Now, last year you had a beautiful streetcar magnet as a carnival favor. Is there something new this year?
There are more magnets, but they're different. Some of us have gotten together and had these little craft sessions. And let me just say, it's not my strong suit, okay? But this is the cutest little magnet, I think. It's a great size. Some of them are actually like bottle caps with the baby, and painted bottle caps with the baby inside, with purple, green, and glow glitter all over them and all that. That's inserted in a little bag that has like a PPP card and explains a little bit about what this is. So hopefully that'll be on the refrigerators of a lot of locals soon.
And Peggy, what is your hope for Carnival 2016?
This wonderful trend of more and more folks, some of them new Orleanians, which we treasure, especially since the storm, they are adding creativity with their subgroups. Muses is a great example of that. They are very open, as are some other organizations too, to the crew of the rowing Alvi, the Lasse boys, who are lazy. They are in motorized Lazy Boys, you know, the Muffalatas, Precious Little Dance Team. I don't know if you've seen the Amelia Earhart's, who are ladies, and some of them are former stewardesses, and they do synchronized dancing as well. The Pussyfooters, the 610 Stompers, that kind of growth since the storm. And I think we're seeing more and more of that, too. So that is my wish, that that continues, because it adds great vitality in addition to our beautiful traditional parades and the newer ones, too.
Peggy Scott Laborde, captain of the Funny 40 Fellows. Thanks.
Happy Mardi Gras. Thank you, Diane.
The Funny 40 Fellows will take their annual streetcar ride tomorrow, boarding at the Willow Street Car Barn off South Carrollton Avenue, 7 p.m. Downtown, a younger crew is growing legs, celebrating 12th night and the birthday of Joan of Arc. Joining me is Amy Kirk, founder of the Crew of Joan of Arc, a walking parade in the French Quarter. Amy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
This is your 8th year staging this parade. It is still a new parade, but it's fast growing legs in our community. Tell me, why are we celebrating Joan of Arc's life?
Joan of Arc is a symbol to so many people for so many different reasons. And, you know, as the city continues to still recover from Katrina or find new voices in the community and find new ways of expressing ourselves, I feel like she still represents so much of New Orleans in a really perfect way. She represents our French heritage, which we continue to grow into. I think it's still a very worthy flag to wave, shall we say, about our French roots, our French heritage, and our French community that continues to grow here. That's a big part of it. And everything else about her just kind of falls into place with the fact that she happened to be born on the Epiphany, 12th night. That's convenient for those of us who like to parade around Mardi Gras time with her birthday cake as a king cake. That's a nice fit. She's also the patron saint of France, and while she's not our official patron saint, I feel like people kind of recognize her as our unofficial patron saint. She's the Maid of Orléans, France, and to us, she's the Maid of New Orleans. She's one of us, I feel like.
So tell me her backstory.
You know, she's like the James Dean of the Middle Ages. She was a rebel with a cause. I think all of us cheer for the underdog, and we certainly cheer for youth who stand up for something. And it's so unusual to see a young person, especially a young female, rise to such heights and to, you know, literally save her country. It's very well documented. She heard voices around 13. She left home around 16. She went to the basically governor and asked for armor and an army and didn't get it at first. You know, she had plenty of stops and starts, plenty of non-believers, and she just kept going. And she eventually made her way to the Dauphin, who then she helped make Charles VII. She helped make him king of France, which was what she was supposedly told by her voices and by God. So she had such an unwavering belief that I think we all just are captivated by anybody who believes that strongly in something. Anybody who, as a 16-year-old, really is able to change history. We're just rooting for her. We're just all rooting for that part of us that I think a lot of us had as teenagers. In her case, it was more of her faith that drove her, but she died for her cause and she died saving her country. And so I think we all can really, really admire that tenacity and admire that courage and hope that we have just a little bit of that.
Now, how has the parade grown over the years?
It's gone from being just me posting things on a blog and putting postcards that I photocopied and cut by hand and put out at cafes. It's gone from that to almost 300 people walking in the parade, about 200 paid members and 100 volunteers and walking groups, and people who design these amazing, amazing items, from our playing cards and prayer cards to handmade sheep that we're handing out this year in the Dom Remy Battalion, to these very large-scale props. So I would say it's changed mostly in its scope and size and scope. We've always been handmade. We've always been a walking parade. We've always prided ourselves on handing, not throwing things. But everything has just become, I would say, higher quality and more of it.
And the royal court?
Sandra Dardis is our Queen Yolanda of Aragon, who was, of course, the woman who was behind Joan of Arc's army. She literally funded Joan's army. So thanks to her, Joan was able to lift the Siege of Orleans. She's Charles VII's mother-in-law. Sandra Dardis is the partnership liaison for Festigals. And then we have Eric Belin, who is our French-American Chamber of Commerce president. He's a lawyer. We know him through the French-American Chamber of Commerce.
And who is Joan?
Margot Schechtsnyder. She's a student at Ben Franklin and a very, very strong, spirited, smart young woman.
What would Joan wish for New Orleans in this new year?
I think she would wish for honesty and forthrightness. I think Joan would just say, carry on and fight the good fight, whatever that means to you. I think she's really just a great representative of fighting for what you believe is right.
Amy Kirk, founder of the Joan of Arc Parade. Thanks.
Thank you.
The 8th Annual Joan of Arc Parade kicks off tomorrow night at 7 at Toulouse and Decatur in the French Quarter. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. High energy reigns queen as jazz vocalist Anaïs St. John brings her Last Dance tribute to Donna Summer review to the Joy Theater. The disco era comes alive as St. John sings some of the biggest hits of the day. Anaïs St. John is here. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, when I think of disco, my mind goes back to the 70s. Studio 54, The Hustle, Saturday Night Fever, and, of course, Donna Summer. How were you attracted to this era and the music of Donna Summer?
Well, I was born in 1973, so certainly I wasn't in the clubs during that time. However, this was the music of a generation and the music that lasted through every generation, and I was listening to it as a young teenager, and I was listening to it certainly as a young adult, and I was drawn to the idea of it as pure fun dance music. Donna Summer in particular, I was drawn to her voice, this magnificent, beautiful range she had as a disco singer, and certainly she wasn't alone in that manner. There were many other disco singers who had incredible voices, and I was just happy that there was this vehicle, this genre of disco that they were able to use to propel their careers forward.
Your high-energy performance garnered a 2015 Big Easy Award nomination, and your show is now heading to the Joy Theater. What are your thoughts on your success?
I am so excited. It just makes me so happy to know that this is the show that's going to be able to do a big theater. When we were doing the Big Easy Awards, we were in the Harris Casino Theater, and using that theater and using that sound system, it really brought the show alive. So I am excited about the idea of hearing the show at the Joy, knowing that it is a brand new theater, newly refurbished, and the idea that the sound with the 7-piece band is going to be so powerful.
And that's not all.
No, we're also going to be doing the Donna Summer Show at the CAC's 30th anniversary for the Sweethearts Ball in February. So that's exciting as well, that our little show is gaining momentum and really being exposed to a large variety of people.
Including overseas.
Including overseas, that's right. I'm going to be at Jazz Estona in Switzerland in the summer. So that's great news for me.
Talk about success.
So excited.
So tell me, in this show at the Joy Theater, what can we look forward to?
Adding more songs. We're making the show longer. We're adding graphics. You're going to have a 7-piece band, as I mentioned, with really accomplished New Orleans musicians such as Mike Esnault, Mark Brooks, Doug Belote, Alexi Marty, Aaron Damascus, Clarence Johnson, and Danny Abel. We also have powerhouse vocalists Romy Kay, Erica Kiker, and Jana Morgan DeQueers, and backup dancers. This is going to be a show of all shows, even graphics. You're going to really feel like you're going back to that Studio 54. And I'm encouraging people to dress up in costumes. We're going to have a little costume contest, too. We really want you to feel like this is an event. You're going to have everything. You're going to have fun. You're going to dance. And you're going to be transported back to that era of disco.
So let's talk about the songs you will sing to transport us back in time.
Oh, yes. It's all about the songs. We have, of course, the I Feel Love and Love to Love You Baby, that naughty one. We have her classics such as MacArthur Park. We have She Works Hard for the Money, Bad Girls, Hot Stuff, Last Dance, and many, many, many more.
Can you tell us what your all-time favorite Donna Summer song is?
It's Last Dance, and I got to tell you my relationship with this song. As a jazz singer, and I work every weekend, I always close my sets wherever I am with Last Dance. It was kind of funny initially because my jazz trio were like, really, you want to do this song? But whenever we play it, wherever we are, whether we're in the Elegant Windsor Court or whether we're doing a fun festival outdoors, everybody gets up and starts singing and dancing. It's one of those songs that is timeless and everyone knows the words. It just gets people up to dance. So I have such a fondness for that song. Although there's MacArthur Park, which I'm really drawn to because it's such a dramatic piece. It's just one of those pieces that it's over the top and it's so fun to sing it in front of an audience because I can literally stop singing and everyone else is singing the words for me. And that's kind of fun to hear too, the entire room singing the song.
Now, when did you start singing Donna Summer songs?
Gosh, I guess it's been about maybe 3 years ago I started with singing Last Dance and ending my gigs. But other than that, the idea for the show came last year when I'd seen her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I got the idea and I started putting that show together summer of 2012.
Why is it important for you to keep the memory of Donna Summer and her biggest hits alive for new audiences?
Well, she's one of my idols. I look at her career, I look at where she came from a young singer who toured Europe in Broadway musicals, and to become, you know, the queen of disco. I admire her work ethic. I admire her being true to her voice and really being a powerhouse singer. And I want to pay homage to her memory. And I know that she has 3 beautiful daughters. She's a mother. Her daughter is now continuing her legacy as well. She has her own band called Johnny Swim. So for all the singers out there who have worked hard on their careers, and Donna Summer being one of them, I want to keep that memory alive. Every song has a kinetic energy that just made me want to make that a part of my life. I am kind of a fun, energetic performer anyway. So I figured disco and Anna East St. John, I think that we can make that work.
Now, when you're not on stage and when you're not singing Donna Summer songs, what are you doing?
I am a school teacher. I teach music at Trinity Episcopal School, and I'm a mother and a wife. So I have a pretty normal life. In fact, I'm usually in bed by 9 o'clock on the weekdays. But I'm also a pretty social person. I love going out to hear other bands and supporting other New Orleans musicians.
What grade do you teach?
I teach 1st through 8th grade music.
I think those kids are awful lucky.
I don't think they've ever seen me sing disco. They know me singing church music during our morning chapels, but not so much disco.
How do you get into character?
Well, first of all, I listen to them constantly for 2 weeks before the show. And then, I mean, come on, disco, glamour, it's all about getting your hair and makeup done and And also the costume changes. I do 3 or 4 costume changes. So once you have on that glitter, the sequins, that sparkle, that big, big Donna Summer hair, it's all about the hair, you can't help but be in that mood to rock and roll with disco.
Jazz vocalist Anais St. John, thanks.
Thank you.
Joy Productions and Jonathan Merez Productions present Last Dance, a tribute to Donna Summer. Friday, January 8th at the Joy Theater, 8 p.m. More info at thejoytheater.com. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.